All right. Hey, welcome to Mercy Hill Online this weekend. We're excited that you are joining us. A couple things before we get going today in our brand new sermon series. The first one is that this weekend is pretty cool because it marks our first outdoor services as we begin to kind of open things up in terms of gathering again. Man, we opened up an opportunity for outdoor services and man, they immediately filled up. I think that speaks to a need. People are excited about having the opportunity to gather in a safe way, but to get around the believers and the believing community again. I think there's another aspect to it that is, man, I think that people are realizing there is a real opportunity. As we seek to make disciples and multiply churches, right now we have an opportunity to invite friends and family to come and be in a park-like, outdoor, short, family-oriented service all together. And I think that as people have maybe come online and they've kind of gotten interested in gospel things again, there's a real opportunity for us to be inviters right now. I know that not everybody is there, and that is fine, okay? We are going to continue to do everything online like we're doing now, so if that's where you're at and you feel more comfortable with that, by all means, but we are excited this weekend to be opening up the outdoor services. Hey, guys, listen, this might be your only chance ever in your life to wear jorts and a cutoff tee to church, okay? So you need to take us up on that opportunity. Hey, second thing real quick, and then we got to dive into the sermon is this. Man, next week is our inaugural first annual, okay? It is our Young Community Communicators Weekend. I am so excited about this. Guys, we're going to be doing, we're going to have three guys preaching the sermon, okay? They're going to be doing, taking different slices of it. We're going to be looking at some things, Jesus stories. I want you guys to make this the most shared, liked, posted sermon that we have done all year for this reason. It shows God's grace to us in giving us young, sharp leaders. Many of you guys open up your hands with your time, your talent, and your treasure. You give to Mercy Hill. Listen, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church to raise a pastor. And man, many of these guys through college ministry, residency, cohorts, age-based ministries, all the things that your generosity enables, it raises people up. Man, we're looking forward to what they're going to do here in our church in terms of serving in greater capacities as they hone these teaching gifts that they have. But even more than that, man, they're going to go plant churches. They're going to go be pastors of other churches, and we're going to see great kingdom impact from them. So let's look forward to next week and lean in as they have an opportunity. This is exciting stuff, man. I get really fired up about this, all right? Let's dive into the sermon for today, all right? If you have a copy of Scripture, I'm going to invite you to take it out and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 as we embark on a brand new series called Functional Church. We did a series in 1 Corinthians called Dysfunctional Church. We would love for you to go back and maybe catch up on some of that if you want to go back and look at that. But what we end up seeing as we turn to 2 Corinthians is that the dysfunction in 1 Corinthians, much of that, the majority of the people in the 2 Corinthians letter, y'all, they have turned, they are leaning into the gospel, they are listening to Paul's teaching. Man, they have gone through some history together, all right? There's a tearful letter, there are some things that they had to be rebuked on, but they are leaning in. They were a dysfunctional church, they were dysfunctional people. But the thing is, and this is the tagline for our series, y'all, God can build a functional church from dysfunctional people, okay? Every single one of us has stuff going on in our life, and yet God is building his church through us. Man, we all have issues. We all have problems. We all have sin. Thank God that dysfunction doesn't disqualify for ministry, okay? Because every one of us have dysfunction in our lives. The church is not filled with perfect people. It is filled with a people who are clinging to a perfect Savior, okay? I saw a very popular cable news anchor the other day say, well, even people who follow Jesus know he wasn't perfect. Excuse me, this is why we follow him, right? We understand that we're not perfect, but we are following one who is. Hebrews 12 actually tells us he is not only the author, but the perfecter of our faith. We are messed up people, but God uses us anyway. We are messed up people, but God is one who is not going to leave us there. He's not there. He's not going to leave us in that dysfunction. He's moving us in this life ultimately to his end and his purposes. And man, I couldn't be more excited to be diving into 2 Corinthians with y'all. Now, I'm not going to do a full historical expose today. I would point you guys to the midweek teaching that we're doing this week coming up. It'll release Wednesday night. We're going to be doing more in-depth with some of our sermon research team on the whole history of 2 Corinthians, and is it two letters, or was there four letters, or three letters? What is the sorrowful letter of tears? And all this kind of stuff that we're going to talk about, we'll get into that this week. I'm not going to do it in the sermon today, so y'all look for that. But today, I'm just going to go ahead and dive in, and we're going to take a chunk of scripture, and we're going to see what God has for us in it, all right? Here's the big idea for today, for 2 Corinthians chapter 1. God teaches us to rely on him through our burdens, okay? In our dysfunction, burdens serve to push us towards self-reliance. When God wants to see those burdens push us towards God-reliance, that's the war for us. All right, it's self-reliance versus God-reliance. And here's the deal. Americans, you are, I am, we are a self-reliant people. Elon Musk says, no one's going to change the world if they're not working 80 hours a week, and we eat it up. An entire generation defined by the mantra, you got to want to succeed as much as you want to breathe. The FIRE movement among millennials is totally wrapped up in, you got to figure out how to orient your life so that you need nobody, no help, no job, that you can do you and be totally self-reliant. And I know that many of you boomers are going to have to get on the Google, okay, to figure out what the FIRE movement is with millennials, but that's what it's all about. People literally trying to train their bodies. Somebody sent me an article this week, to sleep less so they can run more. Y'all, this is our culture. And if we already live in that culture, what do you think happens when burdens come into our life? And every human being will do it. Every human being is going to find sometime at some point in their life, they're going to find something that they're asked to carry that they can't hold. It's too heavy. They're going to flirt with despair. Y'all, that's going to happen in every single one of our lives. And when it does, what do you think happens to a people who are already bent towards self-reliance anyway? What we decide is, I'm going to carry more. I got to toughen up. I got to turn in. Well, what God is wanting to see is you broken and realizing, man, God has given you a burden, and that is an invitation. Man, God is an author of light. Lord, in him is no darkness at all. But God uses things in this life as an invitation for a reliance on God, not a reliance on self, all right? I know that some of you guys today, you see Christianity as a crutch, and everything I've already said has confirmed what you already think, right? And what I want to say to you is this, hey, hang with me through this sermon, and by the end, we're going to circle back. Maybe it is a crutch. But maybe it's a one. Maybe that's not what you're missing. But maybe I can show you that you're going to need what the Bible is providing here. Maybe I can convince you of that today. All right, I hope you'll stick with me. Hey, 2020 for many of us, the toughest year ever. How are we not going to be the same people on the other side of this? This is a chance for us to rely on God more. Let me show you, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, here we go. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. He will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. All right? Paul faced something hard in Asia. What was it? I don't know. We don't know what exactly it was. People have kind of harkened back to Ephesus and some different things, and maybe there's some truth to that. But the reality is, we don't know. It was bad. It was bad enough to go from, you know, it was something that was, heavy, and then it was hard, and then it ended up kind of being harrowing in his life. We're not sure what it was. Maybe we aren't told what it was so that we can sub in things that we're dealing with now, coronavirus, job loss, relational hurt. Man, the effects of racial injustice, temptation, it's something that's really hard. You feel stigmatized in, like same-sex attraction or something like that. Maybe there's something that you're carrying today that is so hard, it is so heavy to you. Maybe that's why Paul doesn't tell us exactly what it is, so that we can always, for all time, look in and say, hey, we don't have to hide those times when we feel pressed and we feel like we're being asked to hold something that is too heavy for us. Y'all, Paul experienced something hard. It affected him greatly. But here's the deal. And this is what I want to show you first and foremost here, okay? He was open about that because the Corinthian church needed his transparency for their discipleship. You could say it like this. Y'all, in times of trouble, transparency is a tool for discipleship. You know, I think about some of the things that Paul goes through, and I think about how that jives with the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was, one commentator put it like this, prosperous, cosmopolitan, religiously pluralistic, accustomed to visits by impressive traveling public speakers, obsessed with status of self-promotion. They wanted to climb the honor ladder and personal rights, and then all of a sudden, here comes Paul, ragged, poor, beaten. Y'all, he was a curiosity to them. They didn't understand what he's going to get into in 1 Corinthians 12, which is really kind of the whole point, that the gospel shines not in our strength and how well put together we are. It shines in our weakness because it throws us upon the strength of God. And we see God shine in the midst of weakness. They didn't understand that. He wanted to embody that for them. But that can't happen if we're covering up all the time. Transparency in trouble is a tool for discipleship. Man, we've got to be able to be, you know, strong enough believers to know there are believers around us at times that need to see that Christians cry too. There are other younger believers that are around us. Some of us, we say, man, I need to open up more for my own soul care, and that probably is true. But what if you need to open up more for somebody else's soul care? What if you need to show them that you don't have to have this veneer all the time of this kind of hard character, that we have been hardened by the world and toughened up, and instead we need to be able to show people that there are times that even the Apostle Paul walks through something that he says goes from heavy to hard to harrowing. He ends up saying, man, I feel like I was going to die. It's okay to be able to say that, and we need to be able to say that. Y'all, too many times in the Church of Jesus Christ, what we do is we want to cover up, put on airs, and slap a smile on it. I talked about this when we did the 1 Corinthians series. How we did the show Brady Bunch, okay? I busted on the boomers earlier. Now I'm bringing the boomers back in and the Gen Xers, okay? You know what I'm talking about, Brady Bunch. If you've never seen Brady Bunch and you're like a Gen Z or millennial, then Brady Bunch, you could think of Brady Bunch like you could think of Friends, okay? But think of that, but then they're all in the same family. And they're very immoral. And actually, it has nothing to do with Friends, okay? So it's very much this show about these people that come together and this family gets all put together. The show is about Mike and Carol shuffling their kids through every bend and turn of life and taking them all the way to a wholesome character and all of that. The problem, of course, with the show, after it was aired and after it kind of went in syndication and then decades later, everybody talked about from the show when they opened up about it, about how terrible it actually was off camera. That on camera, light comes on, everybody smiles, we're one big happy Brady Bunch family. You even hear that language today. But off camera, there was drug addiction, unhealthy relationships, vying for power, eating disorders, all kinds of craziness was going on. I mean, so much so that the tagline for the show is, it's a story of a lovely lady. No, it was a story of having to change plot lines on the fly because the kids are high when they show up. I mean, that actually happened in one case, okay? It wasn't the camera rolls, put a smile on. That was a veneer. It was a facade. And too many times, the Church of Jesus Christ, we hide the reality of our life behind an unreal perfection. And that shouldn't be. The Bible doesn't call us to that. We're scared of showing our mess. The Bible is not, okay? And the reason is because we need to be able to show younger believers and the world on the outside that it's okay for Christians to be pressed and to feel like they're holding on to things that are too heavy for them. That's what the world needs to see for us anyway. They don't need to see us slap a smile on it. Many of you guys probably on Netflix have seen this documentary, American Gospel. That is not the picture of Christianity that the world needs, that it always works out, that God always wants your healing, that he always wants you to be rich or whatever it is. The Bible is filled with pages of people like Paul who are heroes in the faith, and yet they suffered. We've got to be able to say, man, I'm struggling, I'm weak, I'm being asked to carry more than I feel like I can. That's okay to show. Y'all, we will not seek God as our shelter if we never go through the storm or never admit that there is a storm. We will not seek God as our provision if we never even admit that we feel a lack. You know, maybe like I said a minute ago, and I'll move on. Maybe you're going through something hard right now, maybe even something that I've already mentioned. And for your own soul care, you need to open up. You need to get into relationships, and I'm going to get into that toward the end. But maybe it's not even just for you. Maybe like Paul, it's about somebody else seeing that that's okay. And that you can walk as a Christian and still walk through times of darkness. Look at the darkness Paul was walking through. The affliction we experience in Asia For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Burdened means weighed down. Burdened means I'm being asked to carry something that's heavier than I can. I thought about maybe some of you guys have an experience like this back in high school. You're trying to impress your buddies or impress a girl or whatever, and you lay down on the bench press and you're going to try to do a bunch of weight to impress everybody, and you just get stone cold pinned. Okay, it ain't moving, and you're flopping around like a dead fish underneath it, and you cannot move it. It doesn't matter the humiliation. It doesn't matter the motivation. It will not move because it is too heavy for you to carry. That's what Paul is saying. I was burdened in that way. I couldn't lift what was in front of me. Burden means carrying more than you can handle. Now, that might be funny when it's your buddies in high school or whatever, y'all, but it ain't funny when that burden that you're carrying that feels like it's too heavy for you is a marriage falling apart or a diagnosis, or maybe you have been made to feel like your life doesn't matter because of your ethnicity. Maybe it's because you feel like a job is not going to be there here in a few months. Maybe it's because you turn on the news and you realize in the city in which we live, not in Detroit, not out in Chicago, 7 homicides in the first 7 days of July in Greensboro, North Carolina, including one single mom with 8 kids. And you look in and you say, man, I just feel like this is too heavy. I feel like I'm not real sure what we're supposed to do. Maybe you're facing something personally or societally. Y'all, I think of times in my life when I have felt that way. When Anna and I were walking through miscarriage and, man, family didn't seem like it was happening. Adoption didn't seem like it was happening. We greatly desired to have kids. I remember the second year of our church plant was a time like that for me when I felt like I was doing more than I physically could and it landed me flat on my back. Felt like I hit a wall. You know, I think about other times in our life. I think about just even a few years ago, man, our first year of life with Faith Ann, and when it's G-tubes and not sleeping and surgeries and doctors and just feeling like, man, I don't know that we can hold this anymore. What do you do when you're being asked to hold something that is heavier than you can carry? You know, that's going to happen to every one of us in the progression. You know what happens if our life, we're not careful, we end up kind of where Paul's at. We go from burden to despair to death. We go from, man, this is heavy, to this is hard, to this is so harrowing. I feel like I can't get through it. I feel like I'm going to die. I don't know what it was in Paul's life, maybe a persecution situation. I mean, he literally maybe was facing the sword. You know, maybe he had been thrown to the lions. I mean, I don't know what had happened in his life, or maybe it was just that he was beat down. Maybe it was just that emotionally he was so tired. Maybe his resources had been depleted emotionally and spiritually and physically that he was at the absolute end of his rope. You know, some of you might be hearing this today and you feel like that. Man, you feel like when I read these words of going from heavy to hard to harrowing, all the way to despair, all the way to I feel like a death sentence is over my life. Listen, there might be some of you in here right now, some of you listening to this right now that might think to yourself, man, I'm at that place right now where Satan is trying to convince me to take my own life because I feel like I'm there. I feel like the debt's too much. I feel like the burden's too much. I feel like the bullying is too much. Something in my mind keeps telling me it would be better if I just totally gave up. Listen, you don't have to try to slap a smile on that because there ain't no camera getting turned on to roll, all right? That's not what the church is asking you to do. If that's where you are, I know we're distant, and I would want nothing more than to say in a service, hey, come forward and be prayed over right now. But you still can be prayed over. You still can be met with. COVID is not stopping that. All right, the church is marching on, and we would love for you to reach out to us. I'm going to have a thing at the end of the sermon where you're going to text MH Pray or get on our website and write it. You can write what's going on in your life and give us your contact information. And we'd love to have a pastor reach out to you for this reason. Y'all, God's plan for your life is life. God's plan is not for you to take it into your own hands. His plan for you is to leverage your time, talent, treasure to give you something beyond what feels like right now is a hopelessness. I mean, he's got something for you, and we want to help you see exactly what that is. But I will say this, you're not the only one who has ever been in that place. I mean, I don't know exactly the place that Paul was in mentally, and I don't know exactly what he's talking about here, but man, he has gone down that road, right? He's gone from heavy to hard to harrowing, all the way to despairing life itself. But you know what he's able to say, and this could be your testimony as well. You could look back years from this moment. You're looking at this on a screen. You're seeing this sermon. It might be that God uses this to change your life, where you were right there on the edge of taking your life, and instead of taking it, you gave it. You give it over to the Lord, and you see what he's going to do with it. That's what Paul is calling you to do, because look what he says. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. What Paul is saying is, even though it felt like a death sentence, I was able to know, man, our God wastes nothing, and he was using these things in my life. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Y'all, he is telling us here that as hard as it is, the things that we carry, they can be used by God to push us toward God-reliance and away from self-reliance. So much so, you know, I could say so much about this, y'all, all right? And coming on the heels of our series in Romans 8, I kind of feel like I'm going to say a lot less here than I normally would, okay, because the whole of Romans 8 is kind of getting at this idea. But listen, this is what Paul is getting at. He is setting his mind on the resurrection and what God is going to do and final deliverance in the end. He is setting his mind on what God is going to do and allowing that to fuel his life here in this world, that we can get up every day, that we can fight through what is hard because of what God is going to do in the end. That's what he's doing. Man, this is the gospel message that promises us a resurrection, even though it's heavy, even though it's hard, even though it's harrowing, even though you might feel like, man, I'm in despair and the heaviness is real. We serve a God who raises the dead. Listen, because of our sin, we were separated from God. The wrath of God bears down upon us. But the gospel is that Jesus Christ stepped into humanity. He lived the life we didn't live. He died the death that we deserved. In his resurrection, we have the opportunity to walk in the newness of life. And that is where Paul goes in his mind, that resurrection, okay, that resurrection that is coming, that God is going to do in the end. Y'all, it is what teaches us to handle. It is what teaches us to throw our burdens on. It is what teaches us to rely on God. Think about this. If I'm pressed so hard that I feel like I'm going to die, but then I realize, wait a minute, God has promised me a resurrection. It helps me to trust him in whatever it is that I'm facing right now. If this is true, if Jesus didn't just feel like he was going to die, but actually on the cross, he did die, you know, to guarantee our resurrection, then what we've got to realize is, wait a minute, if God has already taken care of what happens in the end, then certainly I can rely upon him for what happens now. If I trust him for when I am going to die, then surely I can trust him in the times that I feel like I'm going to die. Put another way, if our deepest problem was sin and we needed God to take care of that, and he did on the cross, showing his great love for us, then what other problems are we going to face that we can't rely on him for now? Again, I don't want to get all the way into Romans 8, but remember what it said in Romans 8? May he not even spare his own son, but gave himself up for us all. How will he not also grant us all things, right? Isn't that what it said? And that's what it's getting at here. Not only that, but I think what Paul is actually saying here is there's a practical nature to life, and that is this. If I know, and what Paul's saying is, hey, I went through something really, really hard, but I'm on the other side of it now. And if I'm on the other side of it now, then the practical things that we walk through in this life should point us to God's goodness, to his grace, to the fact that he will ultimately deliver us. I would say it like this: deliverance in this life gives us a glimpse of deliverance from this life. You say, okay, let me get that in my mind. Here's how I would think about it. Man, if you were sick and you got better, what our natural response is to just go, whatever's next. I don't even think about it again. But what we should do is we should say, man, I was sick and I got better and God is good and he is gracious. And in that is a little tiny story of God's goodness to me. Man, I saw deliverance in this life. I didn't have to get better. Think about what Dave Ramsey says. Anybody ever says, how you doing? He says, better than I deserve. You know, why? Because, man, sin created such a state in my life that whatever happens to me in life, man, if there's any goodness in it all, it's better than what I actually deserve because of my sin. And if that's true and we see God's grace in little ways in our life, man, when we're sick and we get better, when we're in a financial hardship and we get delivered from it, you know, these are things that can point us. You know, I think about the fact that, man, me and Anna got married at 21, went and bought a double-wide trailer on 1 acre of land in Travelers Rest, South Carolina, and you have never seen anybody proud in your life. All right, it was awesome. It was cool for us. It was kind of a big, you know, life transition thing, and we ended up keeping that property and renting it out and all that kind of stuff. And when we came time to build a house here in Greensboro, I was going to sell that property in order to buy our property here, and a bunch of the title work got messed up on it from years before, and it got super hairy there for a little while, thinking we were going to have to go to court with stuff and all this kind of stuff to get it all released. And it stressed me out so bad. It brought such fear into my life in terms of a fear that I'd never felt because I'd never, you know, we play it safe and hadn't really felt fear financially like that. And all of a sudden I was like, man, is this going to work and all of that? Hey, when that resolved, I can tell you this. When that resolved, as big as it was in my life, my natural flesh reaction was to say, oh, glad that's over, next. I mean, just immediately move on. instead of realizing what Paul says here, hey, he delivered me there and he will deliver me again. Little deliverances in this life should show me that he is eventually going to deliver me from this life. He's eventually going to bring full renewal into my life. You know, this is a bit of an aside, but I think about this with our kids. Y'all, and I think about this as believers. Man, we have an opportunity in the way that we praise God, in the way that we run to him, in the way that we're grateful, in the way that we feel pain and then run to him. We have a chance to show the world around us little deliverances in our life point to the ultimate deliverance that's coming. I think about this with my kids. Man, one of the things I've been working on as a dad and thinking about this with me and with Anna, I've been praying through this, is like, man, I feel like as my kids get older, I am less empathetic to their pain. What I mean is they fall and scrape their knees, and when they were really, really little, I wanted to grab and run and pick them up. And now that they're a little bit older, they have the same pain or something like that happens to them, and I immediately go into dad mode, buck up, you need to toughen up, don't come to me with that, I told you to stop running around with them socks on, you know? And listen, I don't want you to misunderstand. I understand there's got to be some of that in parenting, and I fully understand. And if you know me, you know I ain't trying to raise a bunch of soft kids, boys and girls. Okay, I don't want them to be soft. But I also realize that I am pushing them towards self-reliance when I ought to be pushing them to the love of a father that is pictured in me for them. You know, because every one of us, when we go through something hard or when we are delivered from something, we have the opportunity in that moment to forget it. We have the opportunity in that moment to all of a sudden think, man, I delivered myself from that. Or we have the opportunity to run to God in the pain. And then when we're delivered, be grateful to him and realize that it pushes us to see what he is ultimately doing in our life. Man, I want to start being the type of dad that says, instead of I told you so, son, I want to hold you more, son. I want you to feel the arms of a father, because that's what we're supposed to do as believers. And then the world is going to look in at that when we are grateful to him and we picture what he is going to do in the end through our reaction. All right, here's the application point for this weekend as we start kind of moving to a close here, guys. Don't miss the opportunity to rely on God, all right? We are a self-reliant people. Man, we go through hard things. Life is not always that way, but when it is, we have an opportunity to grow. And I fear that some of us miss it. We're going to go through hard things anyway. We might as well get the benefit. You know, I think about my little girl's soccer team. It's like, man, they teach the goalies when it's a one-on-one and they're coming in and you got to attack that person that's coming. The goalie's got to attack and jump on the ball. What they teach the goalie is like, hey, you're probably going to get kicked anyway. You might as well not let them score, you know? Or you think about like the old school, the play at the plate, you know, the plays at home and the catcher catches it. What do you teach a kid back in the day before they stopped letting them do this? But it's like, you know, what did you teach a kid back then? Hey, the catcher, you're blocking the plate. You're about to catch the ball. That guy running from third is going to absolutely demolish you anyway. You might as well catch it and make sure he is out because you're going to get hit either way. Hey, in life, y'all, you're going to get hit either way. We might as well grow through it. We're going to go through things that are heavy either way. We might as well take the growth that comes with the pain. But so many of us, I think, are missing that opportunity because instead of being driven into the arms of God, we are driven into our own self-reliance. And that's what I want to push on for a few minutes here. What we say is, I got to be stronger. I got to do more. I got to get up earlier. Hey, unbelievers fall into this. Maybe even as a believer, you begin to fall into this. Some of you that might be newer here, you're like, and I said this in the intro, and you're thinking to yourself, man, this whole sermon feels to me like Christianity is a crutch. Listen, Christianity ain't a crutch. It's a stretcher, okay? It's not that you're wrong about the fact that we need something. What you're missing is that we need maybe more and that you need more. You think to yourself, man, I don't need any kind of crutch. I don't need the Bible. I don't need that stuff to get through life. And you know what? I'm going to say something that probably shocks you here. You're absolutely right. Look around the world. People get through their lives going through the most horrific things that you can ever imagine, and they pick up and they keep going. I'm not saying you can't get through it. What I'm saying is, in order to get through it the way you want to, you're probably going to lose a piece of your humanity on the way. You know, if you want to be the type of person who says, man, I don't want to be the one who blinks at loss, that's fine, but you're not going to be able to love deeply. You're going to move yourself into stoic philosophy. You're going to be the type of person who puts your hand on top of your son, and in the same breath that you say, I love you, you have to tell yourself, I may never see you again. You could die today. You're going to have to sear yourself. I'm not saying you can't get through it. I am saying you're going to lose a little bit of yourself along the way. You might be the person that can take the loss. Man, you got bounced out of this job, so you're going to make it up in the next job. You know, you might be the type of person who says, I can achieve any financial and work goal I set out to achieve. Hey, you may get there. You might be that person who showed your kids nothing but your back. your entire life, and you never saw them except for the glare through a computer screen. You know, that may, you may be able to get there, but are you going to be able to maintain yourself along the way? What I'm trying to get you to see is that God wants you to be able to walk through these types of things and become more of a human, not less, more alive, not less. He wants you to be able to walk through these things without becoming seared. He wants you to be able to walk through these things while manifesting and having love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. That's what it means to rely on the Lord. You might be able to get through it, but can you get through it with joy? Can you get through it with peace? Can you get through it with a soft heart? Not without giving it to the Lord. Not without relying upon Him and realizing, man, these things in my life are here to teach me. You know, others of you aren't there. Others of you, as I've been talking about this, maybe you've already come to the place again, believers and non-believers, where you're like, man, I'm at my breaking point. And your question is, okay, man, I'm there and I realize there are things I'm carrying that I can't carry anymore. I've got to release them and turn them over to the Lord. And then your question is, how do I do that? Here's how you do it. When you're at your breaking point, turn to faith and prayer, all right? Turn to faith, an active faith, believing that whatever it is you're going through, man, God will see you through, whether it is in this life or the next. Are you having those active thoughts in your soul? Making the focus of your life, not getting through whatever is hard, but glorifying God in the midst of what is hard. Turning to the Word instead of numbing behaviors like endless streaming, sleep, and alcohol. Over time, these things will begin. If you do them, if you do the right thing, if you turn to faith, if you turn to your group, if you stop running away from the feelings that you're having that are hard. You know, one author puts it like this, man, when we are facing the darkest of night, many of us want to run west as fast as we can. You know, the night is closing in on us, so we're trying to get to the sunlight. We're trying to get to the sunlight. We don't want to talk to anybody about it. We don't want to admit that it's a real thing. We don't want to memorize a bunch of fighter verses. And the only way that you're going to get through that darkest of night is to keep running from it your whole life, or one day to turn around and face the darkness and realize that on the other side of that darkness, there is a beautiful dawn. And the way that you face that darkness is by turning to faith, turning to the community, being open about what is going on. The other thing that I think he says here is verse 11, you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through the prayers of many. Y'all, the other thing he says here is not just turning to faith, but he says you turn to prayer. Here's a sneaky truth about prayer. You got to know people to ask them to pray for you. You got to know some folks. Man, and you know some people by being in a group. You know some people by serving the church. You know some people through the No More Spectators website and getting involved in community ministries according to your time, talent, and your treasure. This is how we get in, okay? And what I want to call you to is calling other people around you to prayer. Man, some of you might not be in a group right now, or maybe you're thinking, hey, listen, we open groups back up in a month. The majority of you, almost all of you, okay, that are adults that are really bought in here at Mercy Hill, man, you are in a group. And as you're in a group, I'm going to ask you this, not are you in a group, are you bought into a group? Are you leaning all the way into a group? Are there people who know what's going on in your life? Are you able to say things to them like Paul says to the Corinthian church? And are you able to ask for prayer? You know, turning to faith and prayer, man, that's what I needed. I remember when my father was diagnosed with cancer. And it was one of those times where I was walking through, I felt like the darkest of night, and I was preaching all the time, and the church was growing, and it was those first couple of years, and I just felt like it was gonna break me. And I remember the day that I walked off stage absolutely empty and just about fell into the arms of Gary Rivers, our campus pastor at Clifton, and another elder named Keith Hawkins. And it was in that time that I was in a moment just like this, where I had to go to those brothers and say, man, this has gone from heavy to hard to harrowing, and I don't know what else to do other than to ask you guys to pray over me and the hand of God would move in my life. Praise God that I have those brothers. You know, I think about one of the families that we just commissioned. This last week, our elder team had the privilege to commission going to plant churches in some of the hardest soil on earth, and they're gonna be leaving here in the next month. And I remember when this particular couple went through a miscarriage and how it tore them apart and how hard it was to walk through as it is. And yet they turned in to the community. They didn't go to self-reliance. They went to God-reliance, and they asked people to pray for them. I think about the story of one of our group leaders, Rachel and Chris. Man, they had been in a marriage for a while. 4 kids under the age of 5 years old. Resentment had started to build up. It wasn't one big thing. But y'all, they began to move apart from each other. And finally, one day, Rachel takes the kids and she's gone. And Chris shows up at Mercy Hill. Could have turned in. Both of them could have. It could have been one of those stories where they harden up, toughen up, got to be a big enough boy to handle this. This is just what life is throwing at me. It's the deck that I'm dealt. Instead, It was going to the knees in prayer. Instead, it was asking people in. Instead, it was kind of getting brothers to labor in prayer. And it seemed like what Rachel said is that a year's worth of prayer, because that's how long they were separated, a year's worth of prayer broke one night. And she began to feel that God was speaking into her life, and she began to weep. And she didn't know this until a long time later, but it was the very night that he was set to sign the divorce papers when God broke through. You think about the praying of God's people. What happens when we turn to self-reliance and just become a big enough person to get through it? Or we can turn to the Lord as he calls us to here, and we can open ourselves, and we can be ones who turn to faith and prayer. Hey, are you walking through something that's hard? That is the world's invitation for you to turn to yourself. It is God's invitation for you to turn to him. A.W. Tozer said it like this: how completely satisfying to turn from our limitations to a God who has none. I want to call you to turn to faith, turn to prayer today, all right? Man, let us learn to bless the rock, to bless the wave that throws us against the rock of ages. Hey, do you need prayer today? I want you to text MHPRAY to 41411. Is this message moving you away from yourself and toward God reliance? Hey, you can write there. You can get on our website if you want to go there. Man, it's anonymous if you want it to be, and you can write as much as you want if you want to. But our pastors want to be in touch with you. They want to pray over you, and they're gonna, all right? Man, every one of these that comes through our teams are gonna break up, and we're gonna be praying over this week. We want to pray for you. We want you to open up. Man, that is the biblical example that we have. We can turn to faith, and we can turn to prayer, and we pray that you will, all right? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and we know, Lord, with COVID, with everything that we have going on, much that people are facing, Lord, we know that this is a time that the world tempts us with self-reliance, that we need to toughen up, that we need to get stronger, that we need to learn to bear it. And we can. God, we could probably get through. We're going to lose ourselves along the way. Father, we don't want to just get through. God, we want to glorify you in it. God, we want to get through with joy, with peace, with patience, with love, with kindness. We need you. We need to rely upon you for that. And I pray that our church will turn and rely upon you this very weekend. God, I pray that we'll have dozens of people flooding this idea of the MH Pray and texting in. And God, I just pray that your hand will be moved for them. In Christ's name, amen.